face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about.
That was not me hemming and hawing.
In therapy.
Socks, stupid socks.
Felker and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And as they go through the traditional handshakes, you wonder what's now going through the mind of Patrice Bergeron. As the handshake completes, I'm watching Patrice Bergeron. He just skated across the ice, shook hands with all four officials, and now is headed down to the locker room. If that indeed is the end of Patrice Bergeron's career, everyone should find an example like Patrice Bergeron. He is an amazing player. He has been an icon in Boston for his performance and the way.
No, it's too early right now, you know, and we... Not after, you know, it's too fresh right now. You know, it still stings, obviously, from, you know, hot fought series and, you know, came up short. So, obviously, I'm going to have to think about it, but I'm not there right now.
All right, so re-entry Monday. Let's get to the Bruins. Bounced, obviously. On Sunday, in their Saturday, in their Game 7 in Carolina. And the body language after the game was that of it being the final game for Patrice Bergeron in his post game. The guy's virtually in tears. Virtually in tears. He didn't even sound like Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
I've never heard him sound like that.
No.
And then Brad Marchand came to the podium, and it was pretty much the same thing. Guy's fighting back tears. Just give me Marchand won there, Jimmy.
Brad, you know better than anybody what it's like to play with Patrice. We know he has a decision to make. What are your thoughts either way?
He's, you know, the backbone of our team and the biggest part of our team. So we want him to come back. But whatever happens, he's earned the right to make whatever decision he wants and take the time that he needs. I guess time will tell.
Again, just really, if
he's like choked up.
If you saw the video, they're basically on the verge of tears, or they got tears in their eyes.
Totally.
They're basically crying. I thought Marchand, too, was a dead giveaway about how they wanted to win for him.
That's, you know, why this one probably hurts more is the unknown for next year with him. You know, he's done so much for this group and sacrificed so much that it would have been nice to make a good run for him. So it's disappointing.
So I think he's done. I think
so
that's
do
it.
I.
Go ahead.
No, I think he's gone. I think he's going to retire. I think that's it. I think he knew that before the year. You know, when you add up all the stuff, we forget too. Remember the concussion thing early in his career? That was a major problem. Like, he missed a lot of time with that. He wasn't the same guy for a while. Like, we just kind of kissed that off as gone and solved, but it's still there. He had the sports hernia, the punctured lung, the shoulder. Like, the guy's like the freaking the character in the Operation game. He's been, if I were him, I'd walk. I'm done. I just, you know, he's 30, whatever, 7. And I'm too beaten up, and this team's not going to be good enough to win it now, I don't think. I'm out. I'd cash in if I were him.
He's close to 40. And how can you not read into this? Like, it's hugs and handshakes all over the place. Again, Marchand's about to weep like a woman at a movie. And talking about him almost in a past tense, too, in that second clip. This is it. He's going to retire. And he probably should at this point, considering the beating he's taken.
So what did he just say? I guess they're doing their postmortems today. What did he just say?
Yeah, so he did. He was asked, like, would you play for another team or anything like that? He does not see himself playing for any other NHL team, but he still needs time to decide on his future as a hockey player.
Okay. I have a hard time believing that. He's all year to decide. I mean, how do you not know that? So my guess is he's done. Where does the team go from here, Bergeron or no Bergeron?
I think they are stuck in this you know, middle land as a low seed, you know, or just out. I mean, I think they're right on the bubble. They're right on the cusp of playoff contention. They're the kind of team they were this year. And they'll be worse without Bergeron, but they're, you know, their first two defensemen are good. They still have Pasternak. They still have Marchand. They have a young goalie who has promise. They'll beat bad teams. They'll lose to good ones. They'll be right smack dab in the freaking middle.
Yeah, where they are now, it'll be like this until further notice. And maybe they hit on a draft pick or two, but they do still have a good young core. And like you said, the good young goalie. So they'll be there. Are they going to be a cup contender anytime soon? Probably not.
I mean, Mike, I just don't know how they fill that spot. How do they fill it? Charlie Coyle, who was -3 yesterday?
It was horrible.
Was that yesterday or two days ago? 2 days ago. Like, all the games are running together. He was -3 in that game. Okay, now, which to me is Charlie Coyle in a nutshell. When the other team can pick the matchup, Charlie Coyle's going to be a minus player. When you can put him on the third line and match him up, he's a plus player. It's exactly where he is. And so, again, he's like going to be the perfect Bruin now. Bad against good teams, good against bad teams. Like, you know, or good matchups is what I should say. So, and I would, with regard to the whole management operation, you know, I think Sweeney's gone. They didn't win the playoff series. The roster's in, you know, a questionable state. He didn't get an extension during the year.
Should the coach GM be gone or retained?
The GM should be gone.
I'd say both. I'd say both. I don't think Cassidy's the right guy for this team anymore either. I think some guys started to tune him out. I think they're going to need a different kind of coach in the next couple of years. And, you know, Cassidy just kind of laying it all on the line all the time is not going to work because you're going to need someone more patient. So, I don't know who that is. Okay, I'll take all kinds of nominations and suggestions.
Well, you're telling me you could get Barry Trotz, then okay. But otherwise, I like Cassidy. And who are the guys that have tuned him out? Guys like Jake DeBrusque? F them, you babies.
But I don't think it's just DeBrusque. It feels to me like it ran deeper than that. Again, he had, you know, felt like Mike Riley and him had a thing. Craig Smith was a complete zero in this.
You're talking about stiffs.
Okay, but Murray, this is your team now. This is your team. You're going to need to get something out of these guys. And I don't know if a guy like, how you feel about a guy like Trotz, Mike? Like,
yeah, he's really defensive minded. I feel like he's an old school kind of coach with a hard edge, but I don't know specifically. I know that's how his teams play. You know, his teams play this really grindy, hardworking, dig in the corners kind of style. Does that mean he's an up your ass kind of coach? I don't know. He looks that way. He feels that way to me. His teams play that way. But maybe he's a big pussycat behind the scenes. I don't know. I don't know to answer your question. I don't know if that would solve the problem. Do the players need a lighter touch? I don't know.
What about stylistically on the ice?
Oh, he plays a more defensive style.
What do they need to play going forward?
They're good defensively. Their goals against numbers are, I mean, again, the playoffs, they weren't good. But in the regular, so I don't know how do you gauge that. I mean, in the regular season, they were fourth in the NHL in goals against. They allowed the fourth fewest goals in the league, and their decor blows. And that's maybe a little strong. It's certainly top heavy. Their decor is not great. And their goaltending, we were spotty with. So you tell me, how are you fourth in the league in goals against with, you know, good, not great goaltending and what we feel is sort of a below par defensive core? And there's something about Cassidy's system that works in that regard. So Trotz comes in here and they get even better defense. I don't know how. I don't know how you get better defensively. Where are you going to go there? So, like, I mean, I just think, to me, I think Cassidy's really good and I like him a lot. But sometimes teams just need a new voice, especially in that sport. It feels like more than others. You just need a new voice every once in a while, and that's it. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And maybe it's time for the Bruins on that. You know, I get Fluto posted something this afternoon on The Athletic. I haven't had a chance to read it. You know, Cassidy and Sweeney are not the problem. It's like, I used to read that too. Yeah, Bruins GM Don Sweeney and Coach Bruce Cassidy are not the problem. Could have just recycled the same headline you all wrote 8 years ago. Peter Chiarelli and Claude Julien are not the problem. Like, I heard that over and over and over again. Well, they may not necessarily. Cassidy's not the problem. I agree with them on that. Cassidy is not the problem.
Sweeney might be.
But I'll put Sweeney to the side. Cassidy might not be the problem. But if he's not working with the locker room, then it's a problem. You can't fire the locker room. So you got to look at that. If he's still getting the most out of his players. Whether that's his fault or theirs, if he's not, then fine. I think Sweeney might be a problem. I don't know how you say Sweeney isn't a problem when they got guys flying all over the ice against you that you could have drafted and who you passed on.
Like, in 7 years, he's proven he can't draft.
So, like, he might be a problem. I don't think he's the worst GM in the league. I'd give Don Sweeney. How would you grade Don Sweeney? Is it 8 years, however long he's been on the job? I'd give him, like, a C.
Minus.
Plus. I don't know. He's somewhere in the Cs. It's not the worst. He drafted McAvoy. They went to a finals. They've been in the playoffs every year, and I'm not, you know, giving him a parade for that. But you don't fail a guy if he makes the playoffs every single year and goes to a final, you know, goes to game seven of the fight. He's done some things that are okay. So I don't think he's a complete fail, but he's a C. He's somewhere between a C minus and a C plus. Can you do better? That's my question. So, you know, they got some decisions to make. All right, there's some add some Bruins stuff to our board here. We'll get to your calls on all of it right after these words.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Tub. They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
Bergeron kicks it back to McAvoy.
Here's McAvoy. He'll bang it to the far corner, a foot race for the puck, 15. Slavin swings it around far side. Bruins keep it in. High slot. Bergeron shoots, deflected. Marchand got a piece of it, sent out in front, slapped to the high slot, Bergeron shoots, and it didn't get free to Ronta, 3 seconds remaining, right point, Bergeron shoots, blocked. Carolina wins game seven. The home team wins every game in this first round series. Antti Raanta and the Carolina Hurricanes will celebrate to our right. A sea of black jerseys with white numbers and letters highlighted in red, and for the Boston Bruins, the 21-22 season comes to an end here in the first round in Raleigh. Your final, Hurricanes 3 and the Bruins 2.
You believe the Bruins almost tied that game up? I can't believe they were in a position with a couple final shots there in that final flurry. It was a neutral ice, you know, center ice faceoff with 20 seconds left. And they got a couple of good looks. I almost potted one. They almost tied that thing.
I thought they were going to. Yeah, it had that feel. Remember the Pittsburgh Red Wings final from like 12 years ago? Or is this flurry? I'm like, they're going to get one of these in.
I'll tell you what. I thought they were thoroughly outclassed yesterday. One of my favorite headlines of all time. I don't know if you'll remember the game, but it was a Olympic game between the U.S. and Canada. Maybe it was in 2016? I can't remember the year it was. And maybe it was the semifinal, whatever. It was a big medal round game, U.S.-Canada, and Canada won 1-0. And the headline was, Canada blows out the U.S. 1-0. And it was only a 1-0 game, but the U.S. wasn't close. Like, it wasn't close. This was a 7-game series in which game 7 was a 3-2 final, and I feel like the Bruins got blown out. I feel like they weren't in the same class. And somehow, miracle upon miracle, that was a one-goal game, and they almost potted it, which I couldn't believe, which could only happen to the former Hartford Whalers, because I thought they outclassed the Bruins. But either way, I mean, that thing yesterday, Saturday, whatever, you know, key spot, 2-on-1, Howlett down to Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall sort of throws it right in the middle of the crease. Great save by Raanta, but I don't know, dude, MVP, you know, lift the puck. Put it up. He gave you the whole side of the net.
You got to bury that.
Can you bury that?
You got to bury it. Again, if you are the number one pick in the draft and you are a centerpiece guy, not the centerpiece, but a centerpiece on a team, you got to score there. Like, I've really started to wonder. There are times I look at Hall and I say, well, he's a great playmaker. But you know what I find myself asking? Is he a goal scorer? Is Taylor Hall like a legit goal scorer? Because I'm not sure he is.
Just something missing there. There's just something missing there from that guy. Can't quite put my finger on it. Never mind Charlie Coyle in the third period. Puck on his stick, the entire net to shoot at. Loses the handle.
Well, going back to Hall, how do you like that penalty?
That was well-timed, I thought.
Yeah.
Of course, the whole series, you couldn't figure out their low to high. How many effing goals did they score? Particularly in Carolina. That started in a relatively, you would say, harmless spot on the D where the puck's on the blue line. And they just get it low and there's a deflection, a bounce, a pat, you know, like all their goals, it felt like, were low to high, D down to the net, and you couldn't cover it or corral it, and it's in the bleeping net. The whole freaking series. There. It didn't happen here, but it happened there. Like, how? Why? It's like, it made no sense other than, well, it's the only sense to make of it is that Carolina's better. And they, you know, I thought were clearly the superior team in Game 7. You were lucky even to get down to the wire like you were. But where do the Bruins go from here? Add that to our thoughts with our Celtics talk as well. How about Matt in New Bedford? Go, Matt.
I'm devastated. You know, I was really hoping. I was searching for a banana for my tailpipe. I wanted this team to win so badly. But now that this is over, Sweeney has to go. I can't believe, Felker, that you're giving him a C+. I mean, I'm sorry. I couldn't disagree with you more. Just ignoring his drafting, I think his pro stuff is a D. I mean, I emailed you guys all of the moves that I thought were bad, and I can't believe it. He sucks. He's got to go. He should get a next job with Brazzers. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I mean, whatever grade you give him, if you're saying it's time to go, I would agree with you. They could do better. I'd like to think they could do better. So that's why I would do it. You can't fail a guy that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and made the playoffs every year he was on the job, basically. Like, that's not a failing grade. You want to see failing. There's failing grades. You could have Dave Lewis back here and Mike O'Connell and that sort of thing, or the last couple of years under Chiarelli where they're missing the playoffs altogether. And, you know, that's F, but we're mincing words. It's probably time for Don Sweeney.
I mean, I'm a little lower than you are. I lean more towards a D, and here's why. His whole platform was, I'm tired of seeing younger players that were in our system go and play somewhere else. I don't feel like their player development system and their draft and player development is any better off than it was when he took the job.
Definitely not. I mean, it's not like they rue the day that someone else is going and play. There's no one to go play anywhere else.
Exactly. So, but his whole idea was, I got to rebuild it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he whiffed on every one. I mean, he did get McAvoy. That's a huge piece. And he made a couple of good trades. Lindholm's a good trade. There are parts of his game that I don't love as much as I did a month ago. But he's still a good player. But even so, all those guys that they hyped up that they had coming along, none of them could play. Bjork, Donato, that was Sweeney's whole platform. And I feel like they don't really have much coming.
Luke in Vermont on the Celts. Hi, Luke.
Hey, so first off, all the respect in the world for the Bucks. If I was a Bucks fan, I feel great. Giannis is the best player in the world. Holiday can play for me any day. That guy's a winner, a competitor. And when they get Middleton back next year, I want nothing to do with them. Not saying the Celts can't beat them. I just think it's a really good team. On the Heat series, last time around in the bubble, Smart, Tatum, and Brown were surrounded by Tice and Kemba. They were not a great defensive team. Kemba and Tice out, and Williams, and Horford in. That's I just can't overstate the difference in the team defensively this time around. And I do hope that Tatum and Brown have improved a little bit, matured. I think they're both better playmakers, especially Tatum. Boston should be in the NBA Finals if they lose. And Miami's formidable. They're well coached. The coaching played into it big time. They targeted Kemba and Tice every single possession. This time around, it's going to be a lot different.
It's a good point, Luke. South should be much better defensively than the last time.
Yeah, I think they're a significantly better team than they were. And again, I'm like everyone else. How do you ignore the second half of this season? They've been really, really good. They're top, call it six guys, ish. probably as good as anybody in the league. So, you know, or maybe better. Like, I feel like the only thing that bugs me about that series is Miami's got home court. That's it. And they're tough. They'll defend it. So, you know, it makes me want to win it in six because I don't know if you can win game seven down there.
John in Lexington on the Bees. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me. You know, Bergeron's a smart guy. I think we all, you know, understand that. And I could even see him being the GM someday. But he knows that Sweeney screwed up the roster. And, you know, the last 6 years of his career, you know, I think he kind of knew that. I mean, I know 19, they almost, you know, they almost pulled it off. But he knows that they're just not quite good enough. And I think if Sweeney gets canned, I think Bergeron could say, you know what, let's give it another shot. I think he's done with Sweeney, honestly.
God, I disagree with you. I'm just going to cut you off. I just disagree with you. It's not why guys quit or not. I mean, I don't think that's why. I just think you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. The guy's played since he was 18. He's played almost 20 years. It's either time or it's not time. So whether the Bruins are a 7 seed or a 3 seed or losing the first round or the third round is not in his calculus. I am sorry. You're wrong. I don't think that's it. He didn't know that. He made up his mind. If he's made up his mind before the year, why do you think he hasn't signed a contract? So how did he know what the season was going to bring before the year? He didn't know that. If he wanted to keep playing, they would have signed him before the year. That's what they do. They don't let guys go under their walk year if there's a future on the team. So it would have been done before the year, or maybe even the year before. Like, they would have done this when they were a second round team where you had no idea what they were going to be. He's not basing his decision on what happened on Saturday or what happened in the last 2 weeks. I don't know. I keep trying to tell you this. With every athlete in every sport, it's just not the way it works. You like to think that it is because you're used to reading it in a book or seeing it in a movie, but it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think when these things happen, people get too emotionally attached. And the fact is, he knew a year ago. He knew a year ago. You don't, and you didn't, and you don't. He knew. He would have signed if he wanted to keep playing. The guys had the crap kicked out of him.
There's just, today, you know what I'm also frustrated by? There's so much to get to. Your new offensive coordinator and play caller for the New England Patriots spoke today.
Well, how do you know which one's which?
And I still don't know who it is. So we've got all that sound to get to. Never mind the sound from the weekend. Never mind sound from today. Never mind the whole thing. There's just too much. There's too much. But you'll hear from the new brain trust down there in Foxborough coming after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. Don't go anywhere.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just wanted to ask you, appreciate your candor on your role. Will you also be calling plays this year, Joe? Is that part of the plan for you?
Look, I'll tell you directly and honestly right now, nothing's been declared or decided or voiced to, you know, me. I know Matt's going to be the other one who gets asked, or Nick Haley. So, look, right now we're all just working. Like I said, it's mostly drills and skills. We're working offensively. Now, I do think it's critical for every coach on the offense to understand the game plan and be prepared as a play caller. If you're not really looking and approaching the game as a play caller, I think it's tough to really teach the game plan, if that makes sense to you. And I've always approached it when I was – you know, Scotty O's assistant and special teams, you know, you come to work every day. And if his car ain't there, you got to get ready to go to work and start calling. So that's the way I've kind of learned it and got ready for it. And that's the way I'll approach every day. In terms of, you know, who calls plays, to be honest with you, that's not the main focus of us right now as an offensive staff. When coach wants us to go ahead and declare a role like that, he'll tell us.
Joe Judge and Matt Patricia met the media today. Your thoughts, Mass?
Oh, it's a fire drill. It's still a fire drill. They show up and nobody knows who's doing what yet. Like, I just, when I hear this guy talk, I start laughing. Because he does sound like G.I. Joe Hardo. He is a total hardo.
He's got the same freaking spiel he had with the Giants.
Yes.
Same spiel. It sounds like, I don't know, maybe he's a half octave lower, a half step, a little less amped, but he's still the same freaking hard piece. This guy. Jesus, this is the guy. And you know what? They haven't declared a play caller, which I think, I'm sorry, is dysfunctional. And here's what I think. I think the offensive play callers around the league, the offensive coordinators, are already working on their script for the first 12 plays against their week one opponent, because that's how those guys are wired. They're freaking nuts. They go to bed at night with the route tree in their head, and they're going over the plays right now. They're thinking about it right now.
Of course.
Week one, series one, here's what we're opening with. Because it's just what they do. It's like they're wonks. Those offensive coordinators are wonky. And yet you don't even have a guy yet. They don't even know. Or they haven't told the guys.
Yeah, it's a competition.
My God. Seriously, what are they doing?
He is such a hardo. He is such a hardo. Keep going.
Okay, how about Judge? How about Judge 8?
Hey, Joe. Sort of following up on that and what you were just saying, maybe I'm not understanding this correctly. Can you explain to me what the benefit is of having the quarterback be coached by the offensive line coach or the running back coach outside of, you know, here and there, a tip on blitz pickup or something? But it sounds, maybe I'm just not understanding it right, but it sounds complicated. Why isn't the quarterback coach coaching the quarterback all the time and, similarly to other positions?
Well, I'm not saying the quarterback coach is not coaching the quarterback all the time, Greg.
Yeah, but why are other coaches needing to coach the quarterback if that's their specialty?
Well, we want to make sure that all the coaches understand the offense, all right, completely, that when they have to give him feedback or information on the field, they have the correct information on the field to give him. You've been to our practices, guys. You've seen us. We're in two spot, three spot all over the field. Oh, we want to make sure that everybody understands the offense as a whole. Okay. It's tough as an assistant coach if you're lacking or you have gaps, I'd say, in the knowledge base of what the game plan and the plan for the day is, to really go out there and aggressively coach all the players, because all the pieces fit and everybody complements everybody else. So I'm not saying simply that he's going to be coached by other coaches. I'm saying everyone's able to give him information, able to coach along the way. All right. Obviously, there's going to be more of a position coach in the meeting room and through individual drills. And when you're asking specifically about the play calling right there, Greg, you know, really, in terms of play calling, I said, look, when coach declares who he wants to do it, we'll go ahead and move forward with that. That's not really going to be an issue. We have no egos on this staff. That's not really going to be it. We're all preparing to do whatever we have to do to help the team. And we'll always address each day with that mentality.
So I mean, seriously.
I mean, seriously. One thing I think I gained out of that is that they're going to have different guys working with different, you know, players, and not just one quarterback coach and a couple different voices. And Judge said it's important for the coaches to know all the aspects. I'm paraphrasing, but they need to know all the ins and outs of the offense. It's not just one guy for one thing. We all have to know what we're all doing, which is a long way of saying the coaches have to be coached. They're doing that to bring the coaches up to speed. When I would like to think, I don't know, call me crazy, the coach there should be there to bring the player up to speed.
Yeah. What I heard out of that was, we're going to be filling our second year quarterback's brain with too much information. Everyone's going to give him input. When we're I would think, want to make it as streamlined as possible for Mac Jones in year two.
What I heard is a bunch of poppycock. Frankly, I heard a bunch of poppycock of him trying to justify why they have a bunch of people with no name tags running around and introducing themselves to everybody. That's basically what this thing is.
That's the guy in Mac Jones' ear? Yes, Jimmy?
What I heard in this comment is Mac Jones has to tell us all what to do.
I mean, that's the guy? That's the steady hand on Mac Jones?
Scary. No, it's scary again. And that whole answer of, well, we all have to coach everybody. No, you don't, actually.
Well, Maz, you should know better. I mean, you've seen us with the two spot, the three spot, and the G spot. You know, you've been down there. You've seen us.
What is the two spot and the three spot? What's that?
This guy.
Bedard took his pants off for that comment.
Matt Patricia, meanwhile,
pencil in his ear,
had the pencil in the ear. So now that, I think, is just mocking us, trolling us, which I'm not above.
That's your next head coach right there.
But, you know, that's him. Oh, you want to make fun of me with the pencil in my ear? Now I'm going to get on the Zoom call, and my fat face is going to be right in yours with the pencil right in your face. And that's
seriously
what it was.
Yeah. Murray, did you see this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Talk about being right up on the camera.
You don't like my pencil? How's my pencil now? Why'd you lick that?
You know what? If I were him, I'd put two of them in my ears. One on each side.
Right in our face.
We got virtual. I love it.
Hold on. Yeah, okay, this guy.
like a jet fighter.
How about Patricia 2, Q&A, what's your title and been coaching? Go ahead. What is that?
We've kind of quizzed everyone throughout the staff, but I'll ask you, have you been assigned a position group that you'll be coaching and I guess offense or defense? What do you know about sort of your title this year?
Yeah. Well, I've been so far like in phase two. We haven't gotten to phase three yet, but in phase two, I've been with the offensive players. You know, I've been over there kind of working with them on the field. We weren't allowed to do anything phase one, obviously, because of the rules. Specifically, kind of spending time with the guys up front, with the offensive line, which has been great for me. You know, I came here a long time ago, and I came in as an offensive line coach. You know, I came in, I was coaching offensive line in college, working with a great coach, George DeLeon, who passed away recently and was a phenomenal, phenomenal offensive coach, offensive coordinator and O-line coach. And then to come in here and to work with Dante Scarnecchia, I don't really care what position you coach in the NFL. If you have an opportunity to spend time with Dante, you automatically become a better coach. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal coach, person, all of it. And to spend, you know, the first couple of years of my life in the NFL,
okay,
every day
enough,
with him,
enough,
working
enough,
with the
enough,
offensive
enough,
line.
Enough. I can't take it.
See, but again, they're just trying to like justify why they're in the spots they're in.
And every question is,
What is it you do here?
What is it exactly again you're doing? Yeah. I mean, that's what every question is. It's
I wish you would get the reference, but it's like meeting with the Bobs in Office Space. What is it you say you actually do here?
I mean, that is. How about what was Judge 7? Just give me that one.
Just one quick follow-up on that, Joe. Just given your experience as a head coach and being here and seeing the quarterback's coach, you know, be the play caller with Josh. And I know it was a little different setup when you were in New York, but how important is that, you know, the quarterback has someone who he works a lot with in his ear on game day?
Well, as I said earlier, to me, I think it's important that we build early on that all the coaches interact with all the players, and there's got to be a trust level. And that comes in when we present parts of the game plan. Every coach will have a hand and a responsibility in designing and presenting part of the game plan, whether it's red area, early down, run game, short yards, whatever it may be. And those coaches will talk and present to the players. And then we'll break off an individual and we'll have, you know, conversations. Along with that, before we ever break that offensive staff meeting, it's important we leave that every coach is on the same page. So no matter who's in his ear, we're speaking the same language. Okay. We're speaking with the same philosophy.
Okay.
And we make sure as coaches, look, we're going to have, you know, disagreements and philosophical conversations. But when that door opens and closes, we walk out there, we're all on the same accord. And we're going to make sure whoever's in Mac's ear is speaking the same language. All right, with the same philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah, that always works that way because, you know, assistant coaches are never looking to get promoted. Assistant coaches are never looking to get the credit. Assistant coaches are always just willing to look, you know, so selflessly with each other. Oh, no, actually, it's just the opposite. You mean everyone's trying to carve out their credit, make sure everyone knows that was my play call? For Pete's sake, Matt Patricia took credit for Malcolm Butler jumping the route. Well, that was his play, don't you know? And he said that as a head coach. Now they're assistant coaches. They both want to get back to a head job. They both want to get, so they're just going to selflessly work with each other. And then on game day, it's all going to work smoothly and seamlessly. I'm telling you, it's not going to work.
No, it's a cluster. It is. It's a cluster. And the way you said it a little while ago, like they're teaching the coaches how to coach is what they're doing. They're basically trying to like
teach them the offense.
Right. Right, the whole thing, that's what it is. It's just one big freaking buffet. It's
okay, like, so listen, we got too much. We got something.
We got virtual. I love it.
Then, yeah,
because I can see everybody, so that's good.
Great.
Good to see everybody's faces, I'll tell you that much.
So if we just have too much other stuff, the dismantling of the Bruins, the Celtics going to the Eastern Conference Finals. If you want to mix this stuff in, we've all week to sort of pick our way through this, which we will. I just wanted to give a little sample of, again, as I would call, the brain trust down there in Foxborough.
They're speaking again tomorrow, allegedly.
Look out below. Not these two, the other assistants, right?
I wish the people on the radio could see the Zoom picture of him.
We got virtual. I love it.
Again, with his face, like you were mimicking it right in the camera. Seriously, like it's amazing they could fit that thing in the screen.
Because I can see everybody, so that's good.
He is. It's like his head looks like it's about to just come through and bite you.
Good to see everybody's faces, I'll tell you that much.
It is. He is right up there. Talk about nose pressed against the glass. Wow.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Appreciate you guys a lot.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, well, listen, they're not happy, Matt. They're disappointed, sad. You know, I can't speak for them for all those things. They're in a game seven, have an opportunity to advance with a good group that's gotten better as the year went on, and you don't. You know, again, I'm not going to speak for them. They'll be able to answer how they feel. But I can tell you right now, they're disappointed that, you know, we weren't able to get it done. For different guys in the rooms, they'll have different feelings about it. Swayman, they're all going to be disappointed. But, you know, this is a beginning for him. For other guys, it might be closer to the other end, right? So everyone's going to have a different level of, you know, how they feel about it, and rightfully so. I think when you're a young guy, you think you're going to be here every year in the playoffs, ready to go. It doesn't work that way. The older guys appreciate that more.
Bruce Cassidy in the post game Saturday in Carolina. Is that it for Bruce Cassidy? Is that it for Don Sweeney? Is that it for Patrice Bergeron? The answer might be yes on all of them. So there's that. Where do the Bruins go from here? Celtics heading into the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's pretty much it. Your thoughts on that? The rest of the way, you can look back at the Bucks series as well. Jason in Worcester wants to. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Mike, what's up? Tony, everybody, what's up, guys? You guys threw me off with that last segment. It was so funny, man. That Joe Judge, Matt Patricia stuff, I could listen to that all day. God, I hate the Patriots. It's so funny. They're just so odd. But, Mike, listen, you know, this Bucks talk, you always play the foil, and I love it. I think, you know, a lot of people have a problem with it, but I love it. But this week, Celtics fans are so happy. I mean, we're really excited. So, please, can you just chill with the – Milwaukee, I know it's your team, man, but just chill with the Milwaukee, you know, the pity party a little bit. Last week, you made me listen to a whole segment of George Hill versus Bobby Portis, man. Just get on board with us, please, and just ride with us the rest of the way, man. That's really all I got. Let's go Celtics.
No shot. It doesn't work that way. All of a sudden, going to become a fan of a different team? Don't work that way, bro.
Oh, hop on board, man. Let's go.
God. You do have some green team in you, though.
I don't.
17% of you is green team based on your television owner.
It's good for business. I'll take the business. I'm happy for that professionally. My head, yeah. Celtics win, I win. Happily. So business, yes. And all the people we work with, I work on a radio station, a TV station that's affiliated with the team. They win. The team wins. They win. It's better for them. It's better for us. It's better for my bottom line. That's it. I'll give you that.
Courtside seats.
Okay. I'm not sure what you're talking about there, Stu. But in terms of my heart, go F yourself. That don't work that way. Let me ask you, caller. You're from here, born and raised, right? I raised this example yesterday. Born and raised in Boston, I'm sure. Lifelong Celtics fan. Let's say for whatever reason you moved to Los Angeles, and maybe even you lived there for 30 years. in Los Angeles. And let's just say you even worked where you covered the Lakers. They were part of sort of your job description. Does that mean you'd suddenly become a Lakers fan? Ever? At any point in time in your life?
Nope.
No.
The price is right.
Yeah, right. How much are they paying me?
No, it doesn't work that way. Again, if it's just business we're talking about, yeah, fine. Celtics can win. You'll never hear me say, go Celtics. Please. Shoot me like the dog I am in the streets of Milwaukee, which almost happened, by the way.
Oh, right.
Do you want a second on that?
Yeah. Were you in that, Smith?
My first active shooter. My first active shooting incident.
Holy crap. I didn't know you were in the midst of that.
I was in it.
Holy crap.
So, I mean, the shooting was a block away, but I was walking out as the stampede started coming the way back in. So what happened was they had this big street party, and the people started pouring in off the street into the building. It was pretty much as I was walking out, it happened to be my exit where, and again, the shooting was a block away, but it was that block. So I you know, I jumped out of my seat with maybe 45 seconds, you know, like between a minute and 30 seconds. I didn't say to the very, very end, there's like a minute left somewhere in there, and just ran right out of the stadium just to get out and beat the crowd with some of my friends. And all of a sudden you see dozens of people sprinting down the street, sprinting sort of towards the stadium. And I was like, oh, that's odd. And then people started shouting, get in, get in, get in. I didn't. I'm like, what? It's just, you know, it was a couple dozen people. I didn't like, what are you freaking out about? And then maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds later, there was a wave of maybe hundreds of people that started pouring into that Deer District thing. Picture it like what Yawkey Way is or what Jersey Street is.
Yeah. Sure.
Right? Sort of, it's next to the stadium, but it is sort of cordoned off. And all of a sudden, it starts pouring into that thing. They're like, get in, get in, get in. Everyone ran inside the building, sort of got behind a wall, and it was disorganized. It's not like anyone gave the all clear. It's just sort of you sat there for about a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I can't remember. People started now leaving the game because the game ended, and everyone's like, what's going on? How come everyone's hanging here? What's going on? There's a shooter. There's a shooter. And then finally, no one gave an all clear. All of a sudden, the people who had just left the game are like, well, screw this, I'm leaving. And they started to walk out, and we started to walk out. And that was pretty much it. But that's the first time I ever had to do that.
That's frightening.
Let's hope it's the last.
I mean, seriously. Right. Seriously. So they shut down the street party the next day in Milwaukee. It was a good call, I thought. Don't go to the... be careful down in Milwaukee. Get your ass shot. I mean, I was pissed the Bucks lost and all that, but not that pissed. So that's what happened. Yeah, real.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, real thing there. But no, I'm no Celtics fan. It doesn't work that way. I'm not going to be a Celtics fan. They can win, fine. Good for all of us. But no, that's not the way it works. Here's an update from Big Jim. And we're
face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felga here. Now you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.